Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our WOSU Fall Membership Drive. More about that in just a minute. This time of year, the moon is bigger and brighter, but somehow the sky is darker. And when things that go bump in the night go bump in the night, one might think twice about wandering the Ohio State campus. A Columbus Landmarks Foundation haunted tour can help. We're talking about some of the Ohio State University's favorite haunts today. Tom Betty is an author, historian, and chair of the Education Committee for the Columbus Landmarks Foundation. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you very much. It's former, though.
Oh, former.
It's okay.
Former chair. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Things change. Doreen Juha-Sauer, you're a former a lot of things.
I'm a former a lot of things, yeah.
Historian.
We won't go into them.
Historian, retired teacher. You're still a historian. You're still an author. You're an author, too, still. Retired teacher and education outreach
director? I still do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you are. Okay.
I do, thanks.
Just checking for the Columbus Landmarks Foundation. And welcome back.
Thank you.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support is the most important part of our budget. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678 for a membership of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. You can get a very special offer available for this hour only. Get two tickets for a WOSU public media exclusive haunted tour of the Ohio State University. You and a guest are invited on this ghostly tour, which is Tuesday evening, October 18th. The tour will be hosted by Columbus historians Doreen Juha-Sauer and Tom Betty. And I'll be there too, going on the tour with you. Wouldn't miss it. We'll embark on a twilight walking tour starting at WOSU's new headquarters. We'll explore the OSU campus and surrounding neighborhood. You will hear stories that incorporate urban myths, real hauntings, and a little bit of crime to tingle your spine. After the tour, we'll gather back at WOSU in the Ross Community Studio for a haunted-themed reception with refreshments and live music performed by the music duo Love Note. This will be a great evening with other WOSU members, but we have a very limited number of tickets for this tour, and once they're gone, they're gone. That's two tickets for a special haunted university tour. That's $15 a month as a sustaining member. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Not only will you get to enjoy a wonderful event and see our new headquarters with fellow members, but you'll also be supporting local news and this show with your gift. Your sustaining membership is so powerful. Listener support is the most important part of our budget. We're a public service station and we serve our listeners. Become a member now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. You know, there are a lot of creepy stories associated with OSU, but that's not surprising, Doreen. Right. It's old. It's been around.
That's why I'm here. And I fit right in. Well, I think universities are particularly prone to this because you think about the generations of people who have come of age at a university, and some of us never remember to leave, you know? So we become the oral historians of everything left over. And so, you know, it's a time of great angst, and it's a time of change and exploring, I guess, new ideas. So it's not surprising that people may be either open to wanting to think about life in an old house differently than they did when they were living in their suburban home somewhere else. And they suddenly find that, oh my gosh, there are things that do go bump in the night, and there's a lot of stories that come from that. And then on the other hand, you look at a time like the 1970s, this was an area that was, people don't believe that the trash alone, we needed to have the Ohio Guard come and take it away. That's how much there was. It was a period of huge change and a lot of serial cult killers in the area. We seem to be the home of everybody who ever, you know, walked in Columbus. These were stories we didn't want to tell during the pandemic, and we were a little reluctant to bring out because we are in times that have a high crime rate, and there's nothing humorous about crime, but a lot of the stories really do revolve around so many eras and times and people that we can find stories on every street.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. That's Doreen Uhasauer, historian, author, retired teacher, education outreach director for the Columbus Landmarks Foundation. She's here with Tom Betty of the Columbus Landmarks Foundation, and who's a co-author with her on several books. We're talking about scary stuff regarding Ohio State, haunting stuff, and often that's associated with crimes. If you have a story, a spooky story about Ohio State, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Tom Betty, where do you guys find your ideas from? Is it from people just calling up and telling
Sometimes,
you?
Yes. So we approach it, you know, as historians, and we try to research and verify things. There, sometimes we have little morsels that, okay, you know, as long as we present this as, you know, a folklore tale and it's not something that we can prove through research. But every once in a while we find like a morsel of facts in the Columbus Dispatch archives or Columbus libraries or books or whatever. So we approach it more as we're storytelling, and there is some of the stories are based in something that happened, but the paranormal could or could not happen, and we kind of leave that up to interpretation.
I mean, you always make a point before every tour of dissociating yourself with the paranormal.
Yeah, that's because we are the least sensitive people you'll ever meet.
It's very true.
And so we really can't claim to have probably the sensitivity for this. However, and I'm so glad Tom, you know, said we try to do research. We have a friend who writes under the pseudonym of Nellie Campman, and she is very much a historian. She has a book out on Columbus ghosts, and it's been out for a few years, and I think she has a new one out about murder and mayhem. And I have to say that of all the Ohio ghost stories, the Columbus ghost stories that I see in the paper and written in Columbus Monthly or this or that, unless they're quoting me, I have a very skewed eye to figuring out where they discovered that little morsel and how they morphed it into something else. But Nellie Campman tells a good story, and she's so accurate in her research that, you know, it's just enjoyable reading her. And I trust the things she says. And she lives in the neighborhood. See, we all just find each other at some point.
She has the definitive books on Columbus ghost stories.
Yeah.
It's really good. Check her out on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or your favorite bookstore, Nellie Campman.
C-A-M-P?
K-A-M-P.
K-A-M-P. Okay.
As in the Campman costume shop that was
okay.
Downtown.
Okay.
And I think, too, because a number of us have always been together on things like the Kelton House, and the Kelton House is so substantiated by various stories that you start to trust the people who tell you something, and that it has happened to them, and that it is part of what, not what they believe, but what they have seen or experienced.
Just mentioning the Kelton House, it gives me a shiver, because mm-hmm. I went on one of the haunted tours with you, mm-hmm. and when we went to the Kelton House, and we,
Sometimes weird things happen. You know, Doreen and I walk into a room and the ghost, you know, decides to leave and go get a smoke or something, because nothing ever happens to us. But every once in a while on past tours, you know, like lights would flicker on and off. Sometimes lights would go off. There was one time we were in the jury room in the basement, and everybody's
the
cell
bar
phones
and restaurant
like
former, yeah.
stopped working. Like, not just the signal stopped, but people had to restart their phone, which was kind of
wow.
odd.
Wow.
Yeah, like you can't really explain things sometimes. You know, the fire poker in the Kelton House every time. Now, granted, you have 30 people walking by, so there's vibrations and the fire poker falls over. But there are some people on our tours that take this very seriously, and they show up with their tricorders and scan things.
Really?
And also, people are very sensitive. Yeah. So We did a tour once, and we went into this basement, and we were telling, you know, some stories about the building, and, you know, some lady, you know, got me on the side. And usually that's kind of how it works. Someone, you know, gets you on the side and doesn't really broadcast it, and says, yeah, you know, there's a gentleman, you know, standing in the corner that hung himself here because he was distraught that his son was killed in World War One. And I mean, as a tour guide and a historian, I try to be respectful, but every once in a while I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what? I don't even know how to respond to this. But when people share those stories,
I'm laughing out of nervousness.
It's true. When people, you know, share these stories, you know, they believe it, and that's what's important.
The very first bus tour that ever had started all of this over 35 years ago,
wow,
was a nighttime tour, and what Tom said is absolutely accurate. There was a woman by herself who later approached me and said she was a child growing up in the Livingston Avenue area in front of Children's Hospital. And she saw the lady in gray walking through the woods that would be the front lawn of the old Children's Hospital. The playground is still there. And came home and told her mother. And her mother said, yes, I saw it. And your grandmother saw it. You know, it's something that we have. And I think for Nellie, it's kind of the same thing. She comes from a family in which this has happened before. So it's more matter of fact. So you believe those. It's like a young girl who was a former student of mine who never had said anything about this before. When I'm getting my coffee at Barnes & Noble, started telling me about a house she lived on Indianola in the university area. I know which house it is. And the house to this day still creaks and moans and shuts its own windows and doors and other things. And they just take it as a matter of course. And I think if you live in old houses, I used to joke that when the Amityville Horror came out, like, what's so scary? You know, black stuff comes out of our toilet. You know, dead flies accumulate on the windowsill. Come on, people.
It's the University District, you know. It's just another day.
Right, another day in paradise.
This Hour of All Sides is about the haunting history of Columbus and the University District. You're listening to all of this during our fall membership drive. Support a talk show that is truly local. And for this hour only, we're offering you a special thank you gift. For $15 a month as a sustainer, get two tickets for a WOSU public media exclusive haunted tour of the Ohio State University. This walking tour will explore several ghostly sites, or reportedly ghostly sites, on campus and in the surrounding neighborhood. Join us on Tuesday, October 18th at 6 p.m. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind experience for WOSU members only. That's $15 a month as a sustainer for two tickets, or make a one-time gift of $180. And we have a limited number of tickets. Get that gift in early if you want to go. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. After the tour, you and your guests will enjoy refreshments and entertainment in the Ross Community Studio and WOSU's new headquarters. Hear some spooky ghost stories, learn some history, enjoy some snacks. It'll be a great time. Don't miss your chance to attend this event. Get two tickets for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 right now. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And remember, not only do you get to attend this great event, but you'll also be supporting public radio with your gift. No longer will you be haunted by the guilt of not being a member, but listening religiously.
You've been practicing that one.
I just made it up. Oh. We are listener-supported, 89.7 NPR News. We count on listeners like you to give what you can during these membership drives. In return, we bring you news and information that you can trust every day. All Sides with Ann Fisher is here for you every day, talking about what's going on in Central Ohio. We have in-depth, thoughtful conversations, and we're able to do that because we are listener-supported. Make a gift now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And again, we have a limited number of tickets for this haunted walking tour. So get on the horn, figure out if your friend can make it, or your spouse, or your partner, whoever you want to bring, and get signed up. Join us for the tour, enjoy a reception afterwards, and support public radio. Making a gift right now is truly a win-win. Make a gift of $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180 to secure your tickets. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. Tom Betty.
Yes, so I want to make 2 points. One is, Doreen and I are both longtime donors of WOSU, and I encourage everyone to donate to this great station.
Thank you.
Secondly, Doreen and I have been doing tours for many, many years, and we have not done a tour together since before the pandemic. So this will be our first tour together.
Wow.
Since 2019. And the reason why we do these tours is we love history, and we think that that's why we have kind of a following that comes on these tours, because we love history so much. We make it entertaining, injected with humor and wit. And
that's Tom talking.
and sometimes we also have, you know, alcoholic beverages, adult beverages, which is nice. But
not while we're walking.
Not while we're walking, right. No. But I think that's why people like to come on our tours.
It's authentic. It feels real.
We make history fun, and I wish that I would have had Doreen as a history teacher growing up. I had a great government teacher, but Doreen's classes and the students that I meet, you know, sometimes when we're out to dinner, sometimes on our tours, she just has an incredible following. So I just wanted to, you know, say that about Doreen.
Wow.
What do you want to say about Tom Doreen?
Yeah.
I'll tell
Be
you
careful.
Later, Ann.
I never know what she's going to say on Ann Fisher. It's always, sometimes she goes down a rabbit hole, no. And Ann and I just look at each other like, what is she talking about now?
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of that rabbit hole right now. You know, we, thank you, Tom. We started the conversation by really saying the university is so old. And I think that does help with some of the genre of stories, because I came as a actual transfer student from Bowling Green to finish my undergrad and then just stayed. You know, I got tired of the flat plains of, you know, Wood County, and it's like, please let me see more diversity here. But I lived on Neil Hall down by across from where the med school would be, in what was the dormitory that had been usually when people transferred in. And so the first stories that I ever caught really wind of almost always had to do with the immediate neighborhood houses. And when you think about it, the university actually started closer to 11th Avenue, which is why the Long's bookstore sign was put down there with the Barnes & Noble, even though the university center sort of moved to 15th by the 30s and 40s, and now it's back down there. So the houses had these great associations a lot of times as rooming houses and for medical students. And so the stories were often the classic urban legend ones you would find. You know, the cadaver that had a hand removed and stolen by a medical student and then hung on a string on a cord and a lamp. And, you know, somebody else came in the room, it was dark, and they had to pull on what turned out to be the cadaver hand. And then after that, you know, were completely freaked out and could no longer finish their studies. They were so rattled.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot that had to do with the medical school. And in the 1870s, that's what you're finding, is you're finding stories of grave robbers and the resurrectionists, you know, they're bringing the body
There
back.
Is a story about right. some guy actually tried to do sort of Frankenstein style.
Right. And so, you know, that is so easily kind of put together and mixed in. And if you remember pre-pandemic on our Green Lawn tour, and I'm on the Board of Trustees for Green Lawn, and I love those tours. We did a Twilight tour there. You know, we never had a problem that could be actually verified that was any grave robbing that ever went on Green Lawn. But we did know where the grave robber actually was. And that was a Dr. Jones, Ichabod Jones. I love that first name. If I ever get another cat, I'm going to name it Ichabod. And Ichabod Jones was a very respected medical man, but needing bodies, he took bodies from around where the Waterford Tower is today, which was Execution Hill. And if you were executed there, the body was buried there. And he took parts of bodies so that they were still in his office. In the late 1800s, people remember seeing a foot in formaldehyde. Why you want a foot, I have no idea. But
it's what all he could get.
Right. This is the story. This is the ancestor of Anderson Cooper on MSNBC because of the Vanderbilt family.
Uh-huh.
So it's the same family. And so it's interesting to think next time you watch, you know, MSNBC.
CNN,
that you... That's his ancestor. So
6 degrees of separation.
Right. So thinking about what Tom had said, there really are no secrets. If you get a glimpse of some story or you hear a little whiff of this or that, I think what we try to do is explore the times or the connection or why it would have morphed into something more than what it was, given people's fears, perhaps, or just the peculiarities of the circumstances. So I think that's what we bring perhaps to storytelling or history making that other people may not.
And then sometimes there's some weird stuff that happens on our tours
yeah.
that we really can't explain. For instance, this is more of a humorous story, but we did a lot of tours at the Great Southern Hotel, now called the West in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic hotel, highly recommended. Just go in and have dinner and see the lobby. But we were telling the story about the plunging bride, and the lights were turned off, and all of a sudden there was this gentleman an older gentleman that was in the doorway, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I help the ghosts all the time. They help me move the piano." And this guy looked like he just walked out of a time machine from 1940. Like he had the same outfit. An older
and
guy.
You saw this too?
Yeah. Well, we both looked at each other and we're like, "Is he real? Like, do you see him too?"
Right. We were in the dining room. And we were in the dining room where the plunging bride story takes place, and we were kind of in the dark a little bit, and he was backlit, and he sort of filled the doorway, and it was just like, "I have no idea who this is."
And he just started talking about how the ghosts, help him, move the piano. And then the one time he walked into the ballroom and all the sprinklers were on and the water was everywhere. He ran downstairs to get help. They come back to the ballroom and it was bone dry. So weird stuff like that. But yes, so I remember distinctly Doreen and I looked at each other like, do you see him? Am I imagining this?
our sensitivities. Thanks that you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guests this hour, Tom Betty and Doreen Juha-Sauer of Columbus Landmarks Foundation. They will lead us in a tour, a haunted tour of the Ohio State University and University District in October. I'll get to more details on that. First, I want to say thanks to Kathy Ortega Contreras from Columbus. Thanks to Stuart Raby in Columbus. And thanks to Mark Hitchcox in Pickerington. Thanks for showing your support for 89.7 NPR News. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our fall membership drive. Support the in-depth conversations we bring you every day. You only find this kind of news and information on public radio. Support the station at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And this is a very special time to become a member because for this hour only, we have a great thank you gift. For $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, get two tickets to take a haunted tour of the Ohio State University and surrounding area. This event is on Tuesday evening, October 18th, and it's a walking tour of Ohio State's campus and the surrounding neighborhood. The event will be perfect for getting you into the Halloween mood. You will start your tour at the new WOSU headquarters. Then Columbus historians Doreen Juha-Sauer and Tom Betty will take you to several sites and share stories that incorporate urban myths, real hauntings, and a little crime to tingle your spine. After the tour, we gather in the Ross Community Studio back at the WOSU headquarters for a haunted-themed reception. You'll enjoy refreshments while listening to live macabre music performed by the music duo Love Note. Don't miss this chance. We have a limited number of tickets. So if you want to go, make that gift of $15 a month as a sustainer and secure your two tickets right now. You'll be spending a fun evening with public radio members and fans of all sides. And I'll be there too. Make that gift now. That's two tickets for $180 as a one-time gift, or come on board for $15 a month as a sustainer. Get your tickets now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thank you to Donna Nesbitt in Reynoldsburg. She says she can't wait to see Doreen again. Your gift gets you...
Oh, and what about me, Donna? Come on.
Chopped liver. Tom Betty, chopped liver. Your gift gets you this great thank you gift, tickets to a fun event, and your gift also supports the programs you listen to every day. Your gift to 89.7 NPR News Today is essential to the future of this station. You know what's going on in Columbus thanks to award-winning local news coverage from the WOSU News Team. You hear in-depth, thoughtful discussion about our community on all sides with Ann Fisher, and all of this essential local news you can trust, is only on the radio thanks to listener contributions. Do your part. Become a member. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Martin Kellmeyer from Columbus. And also thanks to Chris and Nicole Summers from Columbus. Thanks for showing your support for 89.7 NPR News. Again, that number is 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. Olive Branch Jones. I don't remember if you've ever talked about Olive Branch Jones. She was a librarian.
Yeah.
What's her deal?
I don't really know much about her. I mean, it's sort of such an uncommon name that it's commonly remembered. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I did a lot more work with Ruth Jones, who was a later librarian.
Oh, okay.
And we shared a lot of the history information of the neighborhood with Ohio State Archives, and in return, we were allowed to borrow from OSU Library or Archives for photos and other things. But they in themselves were always interested in that, in the area separate from the rest of the city. So I'm not sure if that's in reference to what you were looking for, was their own personal interest. In doing the history of Iuka Ravine, where I live, and we are getting a historic marker whenever COVID ends and the brass foundry can get it done. We did quite a deep dive into just the history of the Iuka area. And this part of the city was so unexplored in a lot of ways. You know, we associate it with the William Neal Farm, of course. But before that, he bought it from someone else. And, of course, High Street was just a dirt road heading north. But this was an area called the Gorges. And they referred to the fact that there was a Glen Echo Ravine, an Iuka Ravine, an Overbrook Ravine. The ravines are only found on this side of the Whetstone or Olentangy River,
right,
whereas the quarries are on the Scioto side. So it was sort of a geological wonder. And I think, in a way, the first president of the university, Orton, this is also what intrigued him, because he was the state's first geologist. So there are stories that would surface early on just in the ravines alone, because it was a high area finding artifacts of Native Americans, the Woodland Indians, the tribes that were here. And so in that way, it had that sort of Ohio legend and lore about it. And so sometimes there are stories that surface that are really quite old because of the ravines. And I wouldn't call them ghostly. I think they are more legend. And I do know that OSU Archives was also interested in that.
But I wouldn't like to walk down one of those ravines by myself at night.
No, and amazingly,
they're kind of
the streetlights for Iuka only came in the last, I want to say, 25 years. There generally were not streetlights down there, so when it's dark, it's dark. And today the light is very soft and very mellow, which was also not good when we were experiencing an increase in crime, and it can be a little frightening. Yeah.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. That's Dorian Juha-Sauer, historian, outreach director for the Columbus Landmarks Foundation, and also with me, Tom Betty of the Columbus Landmarks Foundation. They'll lead a guided tour coming up in October for those who want to show their support for 89.7 NPR News today. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our fall membership drive, and for this hour only, we have a special fall-themed thank you gift for you. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, and you'll get two tickets for a special haunted tour of Ohio State University. That's $15 a month as a sustainer right now. Don't miss this opportunity, and it's for two tickets. You can bring a guest, but we have a limited number of tickets. Make a gift of $15 a month, which can be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Now, the event is Tuesday, October 18th at 6 p.m. It's a walking tour of OSU's campus in the nearby neighborhood. Make a gift and get two tickets. That is $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180. The tour will take you to several ghostly sites, and you will hear some interesting stories that involve urban myths and history. After the tour, we gather in the Ross Community Studio at the WOSU headquarters for refreshments and live music. If you listen to All Sides every day, then you know the show is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversation on issues important to Columbus and Central Ohio. You hear from our weekly reporter roundtable every Monday morning. You hear straight from newsmakers from all sides of the aisle. If having a locally focused talk show is important to you, then now is the time to make a gift and support the station. And in return for that gift, you can go to an event exclusive to WOSU members. Get two tickets for a haunted tour of the Ohio State University for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. What is the deal with Mirror Lake?
In the context of ghost stories.
Yeah. What, you haven't asked somebody from the department who oversees it to come and talk about this? Mirror Lake, I think, has just always been fascinating to people. It may be haunted by bad plumbing more than anything. Well, because when Neil bought the farm, that sounds like
no pun intended.
That sounds like he kicked off on it. When Neil purchased the farm, his own house was located in a building that he had not built. It was some type of a dwelling. There are no pictures of it. That was very near Mirror Lake, and that was the source of the fresh water, because Columbus has a lot of artesian wells, and they spring up everywhere. I know up on North 4th around 19th, there was a shopping center that had the largest swimming pool in Ohio that's still underneath the parking lot there.
Really?
And it was fed by three artesian wells. It was quite the thing on the north end. It was Indianola Park, just like there was an Olentangy Park. So the artesian wells that filled the Mirror Lake was the reason the university actually in the 1870s decided to buy the Neal property. They were looking in Springfield, Ohio. They were looking at down by Greenlawn. And they centered on it because, according to the official history of Ohio State, there was an old German on the Board of Trustees who dipped a bucket into, or a dipper into the lake and said, this is the sweetest water I've ever tasted, you know. And I do know from some of my elderly neighbors who were around when I was a college kid that they remembered families in the area going down to Mirror Lake, you know. That was part of their family history, but of getting the fresh water.
Huh.
But at some point, closer to the 1900s, ironically, when Columbus was putting in sewers, which it always seems to have a need for, they actually damaged what was the source of the water, and it completely dried up. No artesian wells, and so what you really see is more of an artificial.
Oh.
And it's percolating for this. And so there have been suicides by there, and I think Mirror Lake is sort of that picturesque area where you sort of ruminate about a lot of things. For instance, it seems to be heavily used by students to ask for someone's hand in marriage. You know, this is where they got engaged. You know, it's a very romantic spot. Mm-hmm. But for other people, including a professor who lived up on 15th Avenue, it was not. He was in deep trouble for a lot of things, and he did commit suicide by there. And he probably is not the only suicide victim that was in and around that Pomeranian Hall, Mirror Lake. And remember, there was an old observatory, also a beautiful little building that was by the Mirror Lake. And so I think for that, it's taken on its kind of own fascination as a destination.
And it has its own Lady of the Lake.
Right.
Stories.
Right. There is a Lady of the Lake. This is where it gets interesting, because Bill Wall, who used to be at Ohio State in off-campus student housing over at the Ohio Union, the other pre-Ohio Union, always had students, OSU students, who did ghost stories, and they took parents on tours, and it was kind of a orientation to have them. And they made up a lot of those. And he frankly gave them all to me when he retired. And so we have the set of the ones I know that are made up, the ones that are slightly true to something, and then the other ones that are in the realm of what Tom would call unexplainable. So the area, the Hollow, has all of its own mystique about it, and all of those exist there. But to go back to Neil for a moment, probably one of the more authentic stories involving the Neal family is up at 15th and Indianola, the old Kappa Sig fraternity, okay, which is a Neal house that was Robert Neal's, his son's house, built there. And when William Neal's own house burned down by where the library would be today, the family sort of moved up there and camped up there. And of course, Neal had two daughters, and one is married to one of the Civil War governors, William Dennison. So that very large house that later becomes the Kappa Sig House was used as a governor's mansion for a while. And I know that Bob Thomas, who long gone, wonderful, great historian, great gatherer of stories, had told me he was a Kappa Sig fraternity member there in 1930s. And there were sightings of the little girl in the hall. And that seems to have been passed down in so many ways about the child that's seen within the building. And the building itself had very interesting aspects to it. There were rooms that were shorter than the hallway was. And there were spaces that were above doorways, of course, you know, the very high ceilings, but you could actually get into them and crawl almost on a second ceiling up above. And then there was the basement. And I know
the good old basement.
It's the basement. When I was teaching at Indianola Junior High, starting in the late 60s, early 70s, I ran a course if I had a cooperative principal or if I just walked out of the building and took the kids with me, called Backyard History. And we would just take the books and we would go tromping around the neighborhood and the log cabin and this and that and the stories and sit on the sidewalk and do our lessons there. But if I remembered to call ahead, because you never visit a fraternity house unannounced, right. They would let us in and take us down to the basement where the tunnels started. And the tunnels did start underneath their building and ran all the way at one point to the Olentangy River. They still go down 15th and go through two basements of two houses on 15th Avenue. And these were supposedly the tunnels of the Underground Railroad.
Oh, okay.
And that's what Bob Thomas confirmed for me, too.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides and all the other great NPR programs like On Point, Here and Now, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. These programs are paid for with listener support. And in return for your membership, we're offering you a great gift for this hour only. Get two tickets for a special haunted tour of Ohio State University for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. The tour occurs Tuesday, October 18th. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. The tour's on my calendar. I hope you'll join us. Tickets for this hour are very limited. You have only, geez, it looks like about 15 minutes to go. Get these tickets now before they're gone. Support All Sides for $15 a month and get a great experience. A fun and spooky evening with ghostly sights and ghost stories. Plus, after the tour, we plan a reception at WOSU's new headquarters in the Ross Community Studio. We'll have refreshments and live macabre music from the musical duo Love Note. Again, two tickets for $15 a month or a one-time gift of $180. But hurry, make that gift before the end of the hour. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. As a regular listener to All Sides with Ann Fisher, you know that we bring a diverse range of topics that reflect the latest news and trends in Central Ohio and beyond. Every Monday, you hear the weekly reporter roundtable and you learn about the latest bills moving through the State House. Every Tuesday, you hear Tech Tuesday. You learn about the newest app or you hear about the latest cybersecurity concern. Every Wednesday, it's Wellness Wednesday, and you learn about the latest cutting-edge research or the newest fitness trends. All Sides with Ann Fisher is dedicated to providing up-to-date, accurate information you can trust. We're dedicated to in-depth, thoughtful discussions that go beyond the headlines. Support your public radio station today. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Catherine Langenfeld in Delaware. Thank you, Catherine, for your support. And also Stephanie Burrows of Columbus. Stephanie, thanks for your support of 89.7 NPR News. Again, the number is 866-897-9678, and we only have a little over 12 minutes to go. So make that show of support right now. Dwight Grossi? Grossi?
Gross.
Gross from Columbus. He says hello to Doreen and Tom. That's why I knew to look at you for the pronunciation. Dwight, thanks for your support for 89.7 NPR News. Why is it, Tom Betty, that so many of these stories have origins dating back to the early 20th century?
Well, some of them go to the 19th century, okay. 18th century. Some of these stories are passed down from, you know, people's parents or neighbors or uncles or aunts. And when people share stories with us, sometimes we heard a similar story from someone else that had somebody in their family that lived in that neighborhood. So for us, it's like, oh, well, we've heard this kind of before. Let's see if we can find some kind of connection, some kind of trend. And that's kind of how we approach our research. But let me give you an example. So the plunging bride that we referred to earlier at the Great Southern Hotel, that was at the turn of the century. The hotel was built in 1897. And that's the Victorian era. And many people that worked in the hotel have told us that they would see this, they would see guests come down to the lobby and say, you know, the bride is just stunning. She's wearing this light blue dress. It's just stunning. I've never seen that before. And we've heard this a couple times. So when we researched the Victorian era, it was very common that in that era that people that were getting married, the bride would have a color other than white. Now it's white. But back then it was, you know, pastel colors, you know, light blue, light purple, that kind of thing. So that was like a morsel that we were able to connect. And, you know, like I said before, Doreen and I like to make history fun, but we also like to take these ghost stories and also talk about that era and talk about factual things in that era as well. So that's a good example of how we kind of, you know, tell the ghost story, but then also give some background.
Put it into context.
Yeah, put it into context of the time.
To add to that a little bit, too, especially with the 19th century, because we are part of the English-speaking nations, we really have to thank Charles Dickens and Charles Lamb for that. You know, both of them, Victorian writers, were borrowing from Shakespeare and others. And the use of ghosts, especially at Christmas time, as we all know, Dickens' favorite story, was really not necessarily ghosts in the way that we would think of them, although they could appear to someone, because what they really are doing is, excuse the word, conjuring up a memory. So the ghost is the memory of something that is long gone. And in a way, that is so appropriate for a university area. We are filled with all those ghosts of all those generations and all those houses that people lived in and loved in and had a you know, the one true love and the breakup and never came again. And so we are all haunted by ghosts. I mean, it's funny, the people who also came in sort of the 60s and 70s, you know, now we've become the tribal elders, you know, whereas we never thought it was going to happen to us. But you find yourself driving, I do this all the time, and suddenly I just remember something else about that building, that place, that structure. What happened there, a story someone told me, something that happened to me, you know, it starts to almost clog your mind a bit. And I think there are ghosts in this area that we will never really be able to shake out of our own sense. One of the things that I know this is going to sound very odd, that bothers me sometimes the most about a large part of the development we're seeing, we're in such, under such development pressure. And as I chair the University Area Commission and had been on that for for decades now, you know, we prepared for change. Change is difficult. And we set standards about how high buildings can be on setbacks and FAR and all of that. But what you start to lose are the places that alumni are going to remember in a different way. And I think that's one of the connections as we face, for instance, possible redevelopment of the Alhambra Court north of Lane Avenue, from Lane to Norwich. When the physical environment changes so much, I don't know what alumni will feel as compelled to be attached to the university or to the area in which they lived as they might have been.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's a really interesting point because so much has changed really pretty quickly. Thanks to Babs and Dennis Janko in Galloway for your support of 89.7 NPR News. We're just about out of time. We're down to 7 minutes to go. I want to encourage you to think about joining us for this special event in October. It is a special haunted tour of Ohio State University. But why ever and however you decide to become a member of 89.7 NPR News, maybe it's just because you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher all the time. If you do, then you know that we work hard to bring you a diverse range of topics, from news of the day to long-term trends. You're going to hear about it all on this show, sooner rather than later. Our goal over time is to bring you, though, all sides of the issues that matter to you. This is something that only happens on public radio. To support local programming that is truly local, go online to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And remember, no matter what amount you give, you're supporting the news and information on 89.7 NPR News. There is power behind your gift to the station. Your gift is combined with thousands of other gifts, and all those gifts together make a very powerful voice. We're listener-supported public radio. You are the power behind public radio. Give now. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You and your guest are invited on a tour, which is Tuesday evening on October 18th. The tour will be hosted by Columbus historians Doreen Uhasauer and Tom Betty. My guest is Sauer, and I'll be there too. I'm going on the tour with you. I don't miss these things. I love them. They're so fun. For a membership of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you can join us. We'll embark on a Twilight walking tour starting at WOSU's brand new headquarters. We will explore the OSU campus and surrounding neighborhood. You'll hear stories that incorporate urban myths, real hauntings, and a little bit of crime. After the tour, we will gather back at WOSU in the Ross Community Studio for a haunted theme reception with refreshments and live music performed by the music duo Love Note. This will be a great evening with other WOSU members, but we have a very limited number of tickets for this tour, and once they're gone, they are gone. That's two tickets for a special Haunted University tour. That's $15 a month as a sustaining member. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Not only will you get to enjoy a wonderful event and see our new headquarters, but you'll also be supporting local news and this show with your gift. And I'll just, you know, use it again. It was so effective. You will no longer be haunted by the guilt of not showing support for your public radio station, the one you listen to every single day. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Become a member now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. End the haunting. End the haunting of your brain and of your soul for not becoming a member. You know, you feel it. You feel funny and uneasy right about now, don't you? I'm telling you, everything changes once you show your support at whatever amount you can afford, always, because then you'll be haunted. If you overspend, you'll be haunted by that. So just whatever you can manage is all we're asking for. Thanks to Julia Applegate in Columbus. Thank you so much, Julia, for showing your support for 89.7 NPR News. We have just over 3 minutes to go. Let's get more members right now. And remember, not only do you get to attend that great event for $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, but you'll also be supporting public radio with your gift. You were listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. We'll always be listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. We'll always depend on you to make 89.7 NPR News happen for the future listeners of tomorrow. We count on you. So give what you can during these membership drives. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And remember, they have a limited number of tickets. Get the tickets now while we still have them available. Please don't wait. These are so much fun. Doreen Neuhaus-Sauer and Tom Betty make them fun. It's a great, usually, remember, you're going to be surrounded by other 89.7 NPR News members. I'm going to be there. I'm trying to get my producers to show up, too. I know they'll have fun. One of them graduated from Ohio State. He may have his own stories to tell. The other one has a lot to learn about Ohio State. So 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Tom Betty and Doreen Neuhaus-Sauer, I can't wait to get together on October 18th for the big show.
We are so looking forward to it, too.
It'll be great to be back together.
And it's great to be back in your new digs here at WOSU.
Yeah.
And again, to the listeners, Doreen and I have not done a tour together since before the pandemic. So we hope to see you.
They have all their wit and wisdom to share. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org. We're a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News. We're global. We're local. 866-897-9678 is the number to call. Don't miss this chance. We have a limited number of tickets, so if you want to go make that gift of $15 a month as a sustainer and secure your two tickets now, bring a friend. We'll be spending a fun evening with public radio members and fans of all sides, and I'm going to be there too. Make that gift now. That's two tickets for $180 as a one-time gift. Or come on board for $15 a month as a sustainer. Get your tickets now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. It's always a fun event, and your gift also supports the programs you listen to every day. Your gift to 89.7 NPR News today is essential to the future of this station. You know what's going on in Columbus thanks to award-winning local news coverage from the WOSU news team. You hear in-depth, thoughtful discussion about our community on all sides. And all of this essential local news News you can trust is only on the radio thanks to listener contributions. Do your part. Become a member. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Join this listener-supported 89.7 NPR news station right now. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We need you to show your support now. Please do, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you.